If you have brought with you a copy of the scripture this morning, I do want to encourage you to open it up, please, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to look today at verse number 6. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 6 this morning, preaching on this subject, more than a happy meal. More than a happy meal. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 6. I have the New King James Version of the Bible with me this morning, and we're going to read this passage of Scripture. When you have found it, would you stand with me, please, and honor God as we share together in the reading of God's holy, His inerrant, and His infallible Word. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 6. The Bible says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Pray with me if you would. Heavenly Father, we do come before you today in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus. Father, to say thank you for being our God. Thank you for being our Father, our Heavenly Father. God, you have blessed us, and we are grateful for it. And Father, as we come before you now, we open up your Word. We look into the Bible, Father, and we want to understand it and see how we can apply it to our lives as we try to live lives to bring glory and honor to you. So God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would help us to think about these verses and help us to open them up in our mind's eye. And God, we'd be able to be made better and stronger, more sanctified followers of Jesus as a result of being here in this place today. God, I pray this morning you'd use me. Lord, I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit. God, I pray that you would give me that heavenly unction. For it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray, and it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that I preach. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. My wife and I are grandparents, and we've had the opportunity over the last several days to have all of our grandchildren in our house, and we have enjoyed being there with them. We have enjoyed spending time with them. I probably would say I really enjoyed when they went home. Michelle probably would not say that very much, but I learned some things about life as a result of spending time with the grandkids this past week. One thing that I learned about life is this: I'm old. Okay? We have four grandchildren. Three of them are right at double digits, going to be 10, and those grandchildren probably look after themselves, and they take care of themselves, and they handle their own business. But we have a little one by the name of Malachi. Malachi is the most handsome, most good personality, the little child that you'd ever see, but I want you to know that Malachi is an absolute handful, and he is at an age where he is in his terrible twos, and that's exactly what they are. You have to focus your eyes on that kid 24 hours a day to make sure that he's not doing anything that he shouldn't do. And so I learned that we're old. And the second thing I learned is this, that my grandkids are liars. You know, one of the things that we did before we went to pick them up and to get them to our house is we went grocery shopping, right? And I know that my kids, that they're good parents. They're really working hard to make sure that our children are raised in a godly, in a healthy kind of environment. And they have a lot of rules that they have established for their kids. And those rules, I want you to know, do not exist when they're at grandma and grandpa's house, because they get to do whatever it is that they want to do. We went grocery shopping and we loaded up the cart full of like $250 worth of nothing but junk food. I'm telling you, snack cakes and cookies and soft drinks and everything. We had all of that stuff packed away in our house. And I bet you I heard this week, if I didn't hear it 50 times, I didn't hear it once. I heard the words, I'm hungry. And I know that's a lie, because there's no possible way that eating all the junk food that they ate, that they could possibly be hungry. Hungry is a word that is probably not in their vocabulary. Now, I know what they were saying. I know what they were trying to communicate. What they were saying and they were trying to communicate is that they wanted a sugary soft drink, or they wanted a snack cake, or they wanted something like that. And Grandma and I kind of take the position like, you guys can do whatever you want to do, but don't use those kinds of words. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. We hear those words a lot, right? And living in this nation, we probably really don't understand what those words mean. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. When we say I'm hungry, it usually means that it's been just a little bit of time, a few hours since we've eaten. When we say I'm thirsty, it doesn't necessarily mean that we are parched with thirst. It simply means it's been a little bit of time before we have drank something. And when we say I'm hungry, and when we say I'm thirsty, it is not necessarily communicating what we need to understand it being communicated. When we talk about hunger and when we talk about thirst, we need to understand that if you don't eat and if you don't drink, that your life will become over. And we look at this particular text now. Look at what this particular beatitude says. This particular beatitude says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the people that are hungry for, blessed are the people that are thirsty for righteousness. And so it is expressing here, when we look at this text, it is expressing two basic needs that we have in life. Two basic needs that we have in life is for food that is sustenance, and we have for water that can quench our thirst. And if we don't get the sustenance and we do not get our thirst quenched, then our life is soon going to be over. And it tells us in this particular text, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, right? But what are they hungering and thirsting for? They're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, meaning if they do not have righteousness, their life as they know it is no longer going to be there. Now, if you're a scholar and you look at this passage of Scripture and you see that it says, blessed are those that hunger and blessed are those that thirst, you need to understand that in the original language, it is put in a tense that expresses the action of always being hungry, the action of always being thirsty. It is not expressing an action where you drink a drink and your thirst is quenched. It is not expressing an action where you eat an item of food and then your hunger is quenched. It is expressing an action where you are always thirsty, and it is expressing an action where you are always hungry. You are always thirsty for the things of God. You are always hungry for the things of God. That's what he is talking about here in this passage of Scripture. And it says, blessed are those people, right? Blessed are those women. Blessed are those men. Blessed are those moms and those dads, people that always are thirsty and hungry for righteousness. Think about that for a moment. Does that describe you? Are you always hungry for the things of God? Are you always thirsty for the things of God? And I know it describes some of you because I know you. Some of you are just incredibly godly individuals. And it's obvious by the way you live your life that you are walking with Jesus. It's obvious that you are hungering for the things of God. It is obvious that you are thirsting for the things of God. And you know how you know that? Because the first part of this particular beatitude, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. What does the word blessed mean? We think that it means happy, but it doesn't necessarily mean happy, because happy refers to circumstances that happen to you, right? Sometimes circumstances that happen to us are not joyful circumstances. Sometimes situations and circumstances that happen to us are situations and circumstances that are not joyful, that are not something that brings a smile to your face. Sometimes those things bring hurt and pain into your life. But even though it does bring hurt and pain into your life, you can be filled with joy. How are you filled with joy? Simply because you're an individual that consumes the bread of life. You're someone that has had your thirst quenched by the Spirit of God. Blessed are those who hunger for and thirst after continually and constantly righteousness, because those individuals are the individuals that are filled. Are you filled with that this morning? So what I thought that we would talk about for a little bit today as we look at this passage of Scripture is the idea of what we're talking about is more than a happy meal, right? So let's notice what the text says here. And we think about this passage of Scripture. What exactly is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ talking about? Are you filled with God's joy? Are you filled with God's blessed? It talks about being happy in the process. How is it that you know that you can be in this position that he's talking about here in verse number 6? Well, I think the first thing that you need to understand and you need to recognize is that we need to learn to lean on God, right? Have you ever leaned on something? You know, when you lean on something, what is that simply meaning to you? Now, I'm making a deliberate action this morning to stand up here in front of you, and I'm leaning on this podium. What does it mean when I'm leaning on this podium? Well, it simply means that I've had some experience with it, right? I've been behind this podium for a number of times. I've been in this pulpit for several hundred times now, and I probably have done this several times. I've actually leaned against this particular podium, and I have confidence in it, right? I have confidence in it, knowing that as big as I am, I can lean against this podium, and I'm not going to knock it over. It is reliable, and it is trustworthy, right? It is going to support me. It is going to allow me to lean into it and keep me from falling down. And that's what we're talking about in verse number 6 here. We need to learn to be able to lean into the power and the promises of God, to lean on God. You know, friends, if you lean on God, you will understand that God will never let you down. He is trustworthy, and he is reliable, and he is going to hold you up. He wants you to put your faith in him. He wants you to put your confidence in him. I put this verse of Scripture on the board. You see it there in Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is, get this now, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him. That's another way of saying that we need to learn to lean on God. Is that an apt descriptor of your life? Are you a woman that has learned to lean on God? Are you a dad that truly demonstrates you're leaning on God? What I mean by that is you put your faith in him. You put your trust in Him. You know Him as your personal Lord and Savior. You have allowed Jesus Christ to come into your life and to wash your sin debt away. At some point in your life, you have said, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I ask Him for forgiveness from my sins, and I want to live my life for Jesus Christ. And you put all of your confidence and you put all of your trust and leaning on God. Friend, I pray that's you. I pray that you're not a person that hasn't really fully trusted in Him and fully relied upon Him. That you're willing to cast all of your weight upon Him. Because when you do that, you know what you'll find? You'll find He's faithful. He is faithful. We can't truly hunger and thirst for righteousness if we don't fully lean on God. Second thing I want to be able to say in this passage of Scripture is not only do we need to learn about leaning on God, but secondly, we need to be in the business of learning from God. Leaning on God, and secondly, learning from God. Have you ever consulted a manual to learn how to do something? Now, I think in my mind, I think I'm a handy guy. You know, I think about things. I like to try to think about how things work and how things don't work, and I like to look at things and view them as a puzzle. Some of you know that we have a camper. And on our camper, it is one of those campers that has a slide out on it. You know, I can walk into the camper and I can push a button on this particular camper. And you know what happens? That the slide, it slides out. Okay? And so you know what happened? One day I went in there and I pushed the button. And guess what happened? Nothing. Nothing moved. And I'm like, okay, nothing is moving here. Let me push the button again. So I pushed the button again, and I pushed all of the buttons on the control panel, and you know what happened? Absolutely nothing. Now, do you know what I knew about slides at that particular time? Well, I knew this. If you walk into that thing and you push a button, that thing is supposed to open up, right? And that was the extent of my knowledge. And so here I am in a situation trying to figure out how to open my slide, and I had absolutely no information that I could rely upon in order to get that slide to open up. So you know what I had to do? I had to consult an owner's manual. You do that, you open up this manual, and I learned all about the Schwintek slide system on some of our modern campers. I want you to know, I know how a Schwintek slide system works. I know how to go in, and I know how to reprogram that. I know how to line up all of the four motors on that thing. I know how to reset all of that stuff. You want to know how I know how to do it? Because I looked at the manual. Right? It's amazing. Somebody thought enough to actually put together a book. And in this book, you can just read how everything is supposed to work. And you know, and it also gives to you a troubleshooting guide. If something is not working, you know what you can do? You can go back and you can reprogram it. You can reset it. And you can learn how to use this tool that you have. Wouldn't it be cool if somebody put together a manual like that for life? You know, it'd be great if we had some kind of book, you know, that we could go to when we're having a problem with life and want to know how things ought to be better. Wouldn't it be cool if we had some kind of book that we could just actually open up and read it and do what it says, and then our life is made better? And by the way, we've got that book, right? It's called the Scripture. It's called the Word of God. It is our manual for life. Why is it that so few people actually read the owner's manual and do what the owner's manual says to do? See, we need to learn to lean on God, but also we need to learn from God. When it says here, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. For those people shall be filled. You know what will happen if your life, if you don't hunger and you don't thirst for righteousness? Well, you're going to go through life trying to find something that can satisfy the longing of your soul. You're going to turn from one thing to another, to another, to another. And that's part of the issue that we have in our culture. That's part of the issue that we have in our world. Don't you see that? People turning from one thing to the other, trying to find something that can satisfy them. And you really, you know what the thing is that can satisfy them? Well, according to this text, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Right? Hungering and thirsting for righteousness is what will satisfy the need of your heart and the need of your soul. And yet, rarely do we do it. We must learn from God. We must learn to lean on God. Here's the third thing that I want to talk to you about. We must learn to live for God. If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, it means that you want your life to count for God. You want your life to count for God, and not just on Sunday, but you want your life to count for God every day of the week. So continually, throughout the week, your desire should be to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Your desire should be seeking after God, trusting in God, living for God. You must make that decision. This is what I'm going to do. You know, it's pretty easy for us to do this on Sunday. You know, you come to church on Sunday, and a lot of us in this room, perhaps most of us in this room, we're believers, we're Christians, right? We believe in and we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And so when you come to church, you're surrounded by people who are like-minded. You're surrounded by people who know Jesus Christ and live for Jesus Christ. But what happens in a few moments when we disperse from this building? We disperse from this building and we go into our community. We go into our home. Some of you are going to go tomorrow. You're going to go to work. There's probably some classes that you're going to engage in. And, you know, in that environment, in that work environment, in that class environment, you're not surrounded so much so by believers there. You're surrounded, for the most part, by people who are not. And you don't want to know what those people who are not need? They need Jesus. And they need from you a godly, consistent, and vocal witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. They need you to live for God. That Psalm 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You catch that? The words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. You probably have heard it said that our life is to be lived in such a way that it's a witness, right? People look at your life and they understand the way you live your life is lived in such a way that your life is bringing glory, that your life is bringing honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I agree in part with that, right? All of us should live lives that does not cause stumbling block for others. But what's that psalm say? That psalm says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. You are an angel. You didn't drink out of this? Okay. If I was a betting man, I would bet you a nickel that my wife left the room to get me a bottle of water. So don't tell her I have this when she gets back. You know what God expects us to do? God does expect us to live a life of godliness. But you know what also he expects us to do? To open up our mouth and witness for him. You should live godly. You should live in such a way that it brings glory and honor to him. But you know what you also should do? You also should be willing to open up your mouth. Look at how such a sweet angel of a wife that I have, you know, that has brought me this water. And you guys know how desperate I had a need for some water, right? Sweetheart, I'm going to put this bottle of water right here with this other bottle of water that somebody got for me. You see what I'm trying to get you to see? God doesn't just want us to live godly. He also wants us to be in a situation where we communicate godly to him. And that's what he's talking about here, living for God. Literally, let the words of my mouth and literally let the meditations of my heart be acceptable in God's sight. We need to learn to live for God. Fourth thing that I want to talk to you about is this. We need to love with God. Remember what we said about Christ living in you, because Christ lives in you. He wants to love people through you. And that's what the cross was about, right? That's the reason why Jesus went to the cross. Jesus went to the cross to put on a tangible display for you that you are loved. And he gave his life. He sacrificed himself, right? He put his own life down so that you might have the opportunity of knowing him and being forgiven of your sins and being part of the family of God. And we're grateful for that, but we also need to know and we also need to understand that now we have the responsibility of loving with God, right? Of loving those that God loves. That's a challenge sometimes, isn't it? Loving those that God loves. It's pretty easy sometimes for us to love people that look like us. Pretty easy sometimes for us to love people that behave themselves like us, who carry themselves like us, and dress like us, and talk like us, and live in the same kind of environment like we do. But what about all of those people that may not look, talk, dress, and live in the same kind of environment that you do? What should we do to those folks? We should love them, right? That's what God is asking us to do. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. We should love. What's the motto of Parkside Baptist Church? It is the church where love lives. I hope when people come into this place they can sense the love of God. The love of God is here. The love of God is dwelling in you. And I want the Bartholomew County community. I want the Columbus, Indiana community to know that they can go to Parkside. And at Parkside, they're going to be loved. You want to know why they're going to be loved? Because the people at Parkside have been loved. I have been loved. God loves me. I don't know about you, but that blows my mind sometimes to know that God loves me. You don't know me, but man, I know me. And I'm not very loving. Not very lovable at times. But God loves me. He loves me enough that he drew me. The scripture says, with an everlasting love, with loving kindness, God drew me to him. And because of the love of God, my life is different. I've told you, I'm not a person that had religious upbringing, right? I'm a first-generation Christian. What a first-generation Christian is that basically I was the first one in my family to come to faith in Jesus. I wasn't taught by a godly father. I wasn't taught by a godly mother or godly grandparents. But I learned that God loved me. And because he loved me, he drew me to him. And because he drew me to him, right, he came looking for me. I wasn't seeking after him, right? He came to me. He found me. And he said, Rick Hillard, I love you, and I want you as my son. I want you to be a part of my forever family. And you know what, man? I got saved. I put my faith and I put my trust in Jesus as a teenage boy. You know, I fell in love with the idea of a Savior loving me enough to die on the cross for me. And I said, you know what, God, I believe that. I believe you love me, and I believe you want me as part of your forever family. I commit myself to you. And I know that I've not been perfect. But you know what I've tried to do? Since that day, as a 17-year-old kid, you see, I made a mistake of reading the Bible. And when you come to verses like chapter 5 of Matthew and verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And you know what's happened to me? Ever since that day, I have found that God makes a wonderful difference in your life if you hunger for him. And if you thirst for him, if you hunger for him, and if you thirst for him, you know what you'll find? You'll find that you will be filled. And if you're filled with him, you know what you get to know? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. For they shall be filled. I'm here to declare to you this morning, this is a living truth. God will fill you with himself if you let him. And when you let him, you're going to find the most blessed kind of life. Some of you know that. Some of you are learning that. Why not put your faith? Why not put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if you do, friend, he'll make a difference. And that's what we want for you. You see, believers learn to love with God. We love God, and we love what God loves. And we do what God tells us to do. And friend, if you do that, you'll find a wonderful difference that he'll make in your life. And that's our call to you today. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have an invitation, right? That simply means that you are invited to respond to what God has spoken to you about today. You respond in the way that he tells you to respond. If you need to talk with somebody about that, if you're not a believer and you want to know how you can become a believer in Jesus, come and let me know. We'll find some time to open up the Bible to show you what the Bible has to say. And you can be 100% sure, 100% confident that you are part of the family of God. That's what God wants for you. But God also wants you to live your life to bring him glory and honor. And maybe God is speaking to you about that this morning, that that's not quite true about you. You love him. You're living for him, but you're not giving him everything. Maybe you need to come to this altar and talk to him about that. You don't need to let the preacher know about that unless you just want to. Then I'll pray with you. But you need to let the Father know about that if he's speaking to you about it. So we're going to pray, and then Miss Judy is going to be at the piano, and then Andy is going to be here to lead us in a song, an opportunity for you to respond. So pray with me if you would. Heavenly Father, we do come.